getting to know yourself, showing up for yourself over and over again. In creation of the Self-Care Creature podcast, I want to teach you too how to have a relationship with yourself. We're going to dive into the psychological and physiological unfoldings of adopting what I love to call a self-care lifestyle. This podcast is here to help you, the stressed out but spiritually minded individual who can feel that wild calling in your heart, who wants to develop self-care rituals to support your daily living, give you the confidence and know-how to live through your intuition and raise your self-worth. You deserve it. You are capable of this. And I want to help you understand how the hell to get there, what it actually means, and how do you actually live it. That's where my intention is with this podcast. The Self-Care Creature Podcast, brought to you by me, your host, Courtney Klopp. Let's dive in.
Good morning, creatures. It is 6:45 a.m. on Friday, February 9th, 2024. And I can't believe that I am up and recording this early. I still don't quite have my shit together on batching out my podcast episodes. That's something that's common in the entrepreneurial world, is to just schedule things out in advance. That's what I did this whole past fall season, as I had previously mentioned on the podcast. And even if I'm not on that right now, I am wondering to myself about being a person that wakes up on my own before my alarm, 5:40 a.m. while on my moon cycle and feeling ready for the day. I'm definitely taking care of myself in different ways at this time in my life. And for that, I'm feeling very grateful and striving to be really present, knowing that these things don't necessarily last, but they can become stable over time and to just be riding the waves as they're here. But low key, I am side-eyeing myself. I'm wondering, who is she? So anyway, just enjoy this with me. I sat down to record this yesterday and I wrote up all of my notes and everything and got ready to record and realized that I just did not have time in my day. So I'm also learning how to manage my time differently, which feels really good. So I had to focus on creating the notes yesterday for the Creature Calibration Circle. We had that yesterday evening. Creature Calibration Circle is a monthly peer support group that I run, usually hosted on the first Thursdays of every month. It's an online group that runs from about 6:30 to 7:30 or 8 p.m. It's a 60 to 90 minute class. That time has expanded from what is currently advertised online. And it's a great opportunity to just check in with your self-care, to meet other people that are trying to prioritize self-care and hear real world situations and shares of what other people are going through and how other people are, because it's so important to connect with community and remember that we are not alone in our journeys. And I'm definitely going to be talking a bit about that bridge again today, of coming from our individual selves and bridging out into community. A couple things that I feel called to share before we just dive right into the episode is, first of all, I'm sipping on some tea this morning, and it's a viral tea that did sell out on TikTok, and it's from the Good Village Company, and it's called Good and Clear. So it's for lung health and cold recovery tea. It has organic peppermint leaf, chamomile, mullein, and licorice root. So as many of you know, I've been on this journey to quit smoking over many years, but I've really become the most successful in that journey so far through this past season, and I'm really trying to clear out my lungs. If you didn't know that I was a smoker, I smoked spliffs for the majority of my life, honestly, at this age, at this time, which is wild to think about and to say. Spliffs are a mixture of cannabis and tobacco, if you don't know, and that was literally the only thing I smoked. So I'm loving this tea. I have a little bit of honey here, but there was a drink I had yesterday that I wanted to tell you about, because every time I tell somebody about this drink, they're like, what? So if you like peanut butter and chocolate, if you're a peanut butter and chocolate bitch like I am, listen up. Hot chocolate with peanut butter in it. Yeah, it's so good. Just a little bit. And I did mine, I bought this walnut butter at grocery outlet yesterday, and so I did mine with that, and then I strained it because I don't like, I'm a texture person, and when I have a drink, I'd like that drink to be smooth, please, no chunks. So I strained that out, and it was amazing. And here's my hot chocolate recipe. Okay, you boil some water. You put some maple syrup in the blender, you put maybe like a tablespoon or half a tablespoon of cacao, 12 to 16 ounces of water, and sprinkle in some cinnamon or some pie spice, like pumpkin pie spice blend. That's like nutmeg and clove and these other things. Maybe sprinkle in a little bit of sea salt, optional peanut butter, blend it all together, and there you have an unrefined sugar paleo-esque hot chocolate. I learned how to make this when I was working at Cultured Caveman in Portland, Oregon. Okay, so let's start diving into this episode. I didn't know that I was going to be doing a part four, but it started coming to me and I've been sitting with it, and then I wrote up some notes. And the biggest thing that I want to share is that at the end of listening back to my last episode, at the end of that episode, I just wanted to highlight how challenging these journeys are. And I think I had ended the last episode that said spoiler, or one of the episodes that said spoiler, things really did get ugly there for a minute. And that might have been in part two. And I just think it's so easy to talk about healing. It's so easy to talk about the journey. And it's impossible really to fully convey how challenging the journey can be, especially if you haven't gone through that yourself yet. And I tend to be somebody that can talk about things in a lighthearted way, and so it's almost like I'm unintentionally sugarcoating it for you. But I feel called to just reiterate that I really got pushed back to a place that I did not want to be during this process. And it was really challenging to face. And I even wrote a letter to myself this past fall. I was like, I don't know if this is my rock bottom, but it feels like it. And what the fuck is a rock bottom anyway? And I'll tell you the truth. The key for me is that before my breakup, I had not been smoking cannabis for about almost 50 days, 50. And after everything happened, I went about maybe a week or less without smoking, and then I turned back to that coping mechanism. And I understand why I turned to it. But by the end of August, I found myself on a camping trip with friends where I just smoked the entire time. And these are friends that I don't see a lot of. And it's one thing to smoke the entire time, sure, but I realized that I was completely checked out, that I was not doing okay, and that I was not engaged. I enjoyed myself, but it was just not, basically from the outside looking in, I was like, whoa, that is not who I want to be at all. And it even, I'll touch on this a little later in the episode, but it drops into an even cringier space for me, because when these are friends that have known me through being this type of person in my life, and I believe I've changed, and then there are also friends that I haven't seen in a long time or maybe don't even know as well that see this version of me again, it's like I don't get an opportunity to engage differently or show them my growth. Not that I necessarily have to, but it feels important to me in the way it, and uncomfortable for me in a way that it brushes up against my values, because I'm not being integral to who I really am. And I want to be more present. And so that was just really hard to face. And that is kind of where I had to look at myself and be like, hey, I have to make a decision for things to be different. And also for things to be different, it's not just pulling myself up by my bootstraps and my willpower. Again, as I have explained in this past series, it was about getting into therapy and understanding on a very deeper, fundamental level where this was coming from. And I was actually able to witness quite a deep pattern, especially a relationship pattern within myself through this. I touched on this a bit too in the past episodes, where the narrative used to be I lose myself in other people. And and essentially abandon myself in and for other people. And so really facing that and going in and understanding why and finding it within myself due to many years of practice. It's not like I could just flip a switch and do it. I was able to say, okay, I don't want to be here. I have different and better tools, and I'm going to fucking prove to myself that I can be different and that I am different. And thus this journey took off. And that's where I began initiating that self-love integration period for myself, the stabilize, self-love and stabilize era, which I very much want to make sweatshirts for all of these different eras. And I'm taking note. I will let you know if or when they ever drop. But the self-love and stabilize, it's the cozy era. It's the nestling down. It's the coming back to myself. And it just felt not necessarily isolating, but kind of in that way where it's like I'm really leaning into the self-care pillars. I'm just checking off the foundations of my self-care to make sure that I am keeping myself afloat, even if I'm not able to be fully present, even if I am still dissociating a little bit, even if I am going through grief. Am I eating? Am I sleeping? Am I hydrating? Am I moving my body? And things of this nature. And one of the biggest, most fascinating things that have come out of that era is sobriety. And I will probably do another episode on this. I was talking to a friend about this recently, but being sober is something that I found in my life many years ago. I think it was in 2019 that I actually had the realization that terrified me that I did not want to be sober, that I was scared to be sober, that it was laughable to me. It was throw in all the sarcastic jokes that sobriety really, really freaked me out. And so to look back at this last season of my life and realize that I've been more sober through this season, and it's the hardest fucking season traditionally of my life, the fall season, is always so challenging for me, particularly with seasonal depression and just other things that have happened in my life. It's a huge fucking win to say I didn't smoke at all during that season, except for once over the holidays where I gave myself that permission. And even if I may have not been as successful in that as I wanted to, or as stable as conscious, which is a great learning curve, and there's no animosity or feels about it, just plain and simple learning curve. I feel so proud of myself. And I was thinking about it, and I don't think I even drank between September and November. And so I not only am I completely sober of cannabis at this time and feel very grounded and true in that more than I ever have before, but of course it's a cyclical, complicated cycle. I also am feeling more soberly conscious than I ever consciously sober than I ever have before. And that's incredible. And I can do more episodes about my journey with substances and even with alcohol. But if you didn't know, I quit drinking for 5.5 years at one point. Alcoholism runs in my family. I've never identified as an alcoholic, but this is something that was a really big deal for me. And when I decided I wanted to start drinking again and have a better relationship with alcohol, that was also a challenging journey. So to witness myself in this place, it's hard to give myself credit. And I'm trying to do this here in witness of you, my listeners, because I think it's important that we give ourselves these credits and that we understand these milestones. And looking back this last season, it's been the last 6 to 7 months of my life. That's a huge fucking chunk. I see people on social media all the time celebrating a week, 3 weeks, 30 days, 3 months. I'm like, bitch, can you please give yourself credit? This is a big deal. And so I'm really just trying to settle into that for myself. Thank you for witnessing and hearing me. And just want you to know that if you find yourself somewhere on the journey where you're not quite sober, sobriety scares the shit out of you, you want to take breaks from cannabis and or drinking or any other substance that you find yourself having those addictive tendency towards, just know that you're not alone. And in our world today, it's especially and increasingly normal. From this self-love and stabilize era, I am shifting into a new era that I am calling fiercely fortifying. The fiercely fortifying era. I just love alliteration, and it just feels really true to where I'm at, which is at this time I'm feeling more grounded, more stable, more aware, more anchored within myself than perhaps I ever have in my life. And I feel comfortable and more confident saying that because of the sobriety. And I also understand that also is ever shifting. These tides of life are ever shifting. I cannot say that enough. And I'm constantly working on that with my clients as well, because I feel like we live in a world where we have goals and we want to reach a certain outcome and we want it to be sustainable in a way that, you know, we're feeling good and we're happy and we're content and things are good all the time. And it's like, hold on. Pull back, honey darling. Honey darling, that is not what the human experience is about. We're building the tools to be able to fortify and face the hard shit and be able to support ourselves through it all. So fortitude is one of our shift principles, and it helps you to navigate uncertainty, face obstacles, and persist on your path with courage. It's something that I talk about in my seasonal shift shops. The next one is coming up on April 20th in person at the Beau Sanctuary, a 4-hour in-person workshop where we will be focusing on the pillar of mindset. The theme is how to change your mind, but not with psychedelics. And if you want to dive deeper into the shift principles, I would definitely check out the Well Self program. It goes deep into all of these, or schedule a personal session with me. I'd be more than happy to dive into this self-care roadmap and help you understand this deeper level of support for yourself. What I'm currently exploring is the connection between fortitude and intuition. So the ability to face hard things, to feel grounded within myself, and how that also links into the deeper essence of intuition within myself. So far, the connection seems to lie in the ability to withstand external pressures, doubts, difficulties, while staying true to my own inner wisdom, while staying connected to, I don't know how else to say it, my own inner wisdom. That's the best way to say it. Because here's the thing, intuition differs from logic. Intuition is not the mind. It is not anxiety. It is not stress. It's not other nervous system responses. So it's been a little bit of a different journey and definitely more challenging to be able to decipher. But in my experience, since it takes a lot of time, practice, and intention, that is what the fiercely fortifying era is all about. It's like, okay, I've created the self-love and stabilize. We've grounded into the foundation, which is what the Well Self course is all about. And I'm beginning to put that into the world and really live in this way and feel more connected to myself than ever before via my intuition. So I can keep y'all posted on exactly how that may unfold. But here's what I'm finding right now. It's again, bridging from self to community. And I have a feeling this is a big new thing unfolding for me at this time and is really the heart and the center of my lifestyle brand of being a self-care creature. Feeling anchor and grounded in this way in myself, as I have been saying here, is completely new. I was sober for the first time during the hardest season of my life. I'm living a consciously sober life right now, and these milestones and these moments in my life are hard to grasp, and it's also hard knowing, like I had mentioned before, that there are people in my life that do not know this version of me, that they only know me as the drunk, stoned, loud, obnoxious person that can't hold their shit together, where just a couple years ago, I was throwing up under the table on my birthday at a bar. Like, that's real shit. That's who I've been, and not too long ago. And all of those pieces of me is part of the integration. I believe one path to healing, and the one that I choose to take, is learning how to love and integrate all of these pieces of myself. Because I know that if I don't learn to love them somehow, in some way, shape, or form, they will come back to haunt me. And that could essentially be moving through shadow work, right? Like, I'm not saying that I feel proud of those things, but I am beginning to feel more neutral about it because, yeah, those are just facts about who I am. And I know that's not who I am anymore. But I have to challenge myself and rise to the responsibility of being a different person. And I want to be able to prove that to myself because I know that's who I am. And it's not like I have to prove it to anybody else. And that's really what that self-love and stabilize era was all about. Again, just to reiterate. So here I am on this bridge once again, continuously, because life is not a steady linear path of growth, right? It's a cyclical nature where we spiral around and we learn similar paths, but are never, or similar lessons and are on similar paths, but it's never in the exact same place. So here I am on that bridge from myself out into community, and the practice begins in relations with others. I think that's the biggest part of the healing process. We cannot heal in isolation. We are not isolate. Don't think that is the right word. We are not creatures of isolation. We are social creatures. We are mammals. And so moving from self-love and outward into the community is truly what my passion is all about behind what I do. Because as I have sunk into this and got to know myself deeper, the messages have become clear as I become more spiritual and ground into these practices, particularly with great mystery, with great spirit. The messages that I receive is that this is never just about you. This is never just about you. It's so that you can be there with and for the people that you love, the beings that you love, so that you can know yourself and be strong and stable in your communities. I am listening to a podcast episode right now that I want to mention. And it's called The Emerald Podcast. And this episode is The Revolution Will Not Be Pathologized. And I admittedly, it's still brand new. It's still brewing and marinating for me. But I wrote down a quote that I was just obsessed with, or a piece that I was obsessed with about 23 minutes in, speaking to how shadow work and the chase for a taste of wellness leads us on an individual journey. We're thinking of ourselves, what's wrong with me? How do I change these aspects of myself? And how other non-psychological animate traditions say, what if you are not the issue at all? What if you're not the issue at all? And animate traditions can be used to describe cultural practices, beliefs, and rituals that are considered lively, dynamic, and deeply connected to the living world. And that's part of what, again, I feel so passionate about. We must learn how taking care of ourselves really is not about us at all. And it's about learning how to be in relation with others. And that's something that I think is the most challenging part of my journey, especially with relational trauma, emotional attachment issues, I'll say. Not that I love that word, but that is really where the true healing lessons come in. And it can be hard to face that because it can be really easy to just isolate and to be by yourself. I think there's a meme I've seen going around TikTok lately that says, you think you're all healed, but that's because you're isolated and not even being involved in the world in any way. So I just want to be honest and talk about the difficulties on this journey. And as I've already said, healing is not a linear path. And there are many challenging moments, but learning how to support ourselves through it really is the key there, to know that there's nothing wrong with you specifically and that you're just learning how to be a different and better human being through the journey. Every single one of our own experiences and healing journeys are unique and different. Of course, that's obvious, but I just want to give that gentle and sweet reminder. I'm sharing my story, not as a universal template, but as an encouragement for you to be able to find your own path. I want to encourage you to be open to the lessons along the way. And in closing here, this is not a very long episode, just a simple touch-in. I want to take a moment to express my gratitude to you, as always, and emphasize the importance of continuous growth and learning. But here's a reminder that life is not exactly about living by the phrase, everything happens for a reason. That is something that I was so deeply tied into for a really long time. and deeply believed. And then I started doing a little bit of different research because I started seeing things online where people were like, maybe it didn't happen for a reason, or just how this phrase can be a little detrimental. So let me see if I can break this down, because I believe that there is a difference between being open to an active journey of continuous growth from saying everything happens for a reason. And while this phrase has its place, I find greater solace in living with the intention and learning from the twists and turns, balanced with being in awe of the great mystery of life and becoming more friendly with the unknown, which can be absolutely fucking terrifying. Absolutely fucking terrifying. But I have a feeling if you are here listening to this podcast, that is something that you want to be able to do, that you want to be able to learn for yourself. And here's the thing that's also really hard, is that we don't have to know everything, and we can't. We cannot know everything. The why, the how. There are so many factors at play at once. It's never just one thing. And I think that is what we have a tendency to do, is zoom in really close, talking about the individual, the one thing that led to this domino effect. And it's like, no, we have to zoom out and remember that we're part of a bigger whole, and all of the little things that happen in our life are part of a bigger whole. So yes, embrace the lessons, learn to adapt, please choose growth. That is what I'm encouraging, but it's not required. I understand it's not everybody's path. And let yourself rest. Let yourself grieve. Learn how to feel the emotions. Learn how to be in the bullshit of life, because that is part of it. Let yourself play. Let yourself be a human being. It is always a both and. So here's to navigating this adventure together, to not be burdened by destiny, but propelled by our curiosity to learn, explore, and evolve. And as always, I want to thank you for listening, and thank you for being such a curious creature on this journey of getting to know yourself better. As I always say, the world needs more curious creatures like this, who just want to know themselves better to be able to be different and better in the world. And I would like to end this episode with a poem from Dana Faulds. She is an active poet, meaning alive and well still and posting. If you go to her website, danafaulds.com, I'll include that in the show notes. She posts a new poem every week. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know. So here's a poem just from the end of January called Loving the Infinite. For the briefest of instants, love is my only reality. Love of a soul for the whole, love flowing out and streaming in unimpeded, love of a drop for its ocean, love eclipsing everything but its own sweet truth. It doesn't matter that the moment passes and thoughts intrude again, or that anxiety rises like smoke from a smoldering wildfire. All that really counts is the certainty that divine love is my foundation. There's nothing for me to do or prove. The intimacy of being loved by the mystery and loving the infinite in return is a priceless gift I have not earned. Please consider leaving a review wherever you are listening, preferably on Spotify. It's as easy as just hitting how many stars you believe this podcast deserves. And if you'd like to support the podcast monetarily, there is now a tip jar link in the show notes. The best ways to connect with me right now are through email. You can sign up for the SCC emails. You'll receive bi-weekly realistic self-care tips and a once a month in real time update from me. As mentioned at the beginning of this episode, there are the monthly creature calibration circles currently available to anyone via sliding scale, $6 or more. There is the in-person workshop at the Bow Sanctuary coming up that I had mentioned on April 20th. It's really funny to me that it's on 420. If you know, you know. And so check that out, the Shift Shop. I'll put a link for that in the show notes as well. And I am taking on new clients. I specialize in working with people going through life transitions, wanting to learn how to feel the feels. All of this self-support pairs very well with therapy. So wishing you well out there. We have a lot of really great episodes coming up this month with some more guest speakers talking about self-advocacy, nervous system regulation, definitely keep your eyes peeled for that, and I will talk to you soon. Sending much love and hugs out to you, sweet creatures.